Mr. Crowther, first of all, 5 years ago, you threw your hat in the ring. You're throwing your hat in the ring again. Why?
Well, the principal reason, John, is if I look back to where we were 5 years ago, it's important. I recognise that we had a new constituency. It was all pulled together. The local authorities had always been quite divided because we have that, you know, airport and Berlin Wall that sits in between the two. So we had a new opportunity. There were some infrastructure projects that I recognised needed, you know, a better voice in the House of Keys. I just felt we hadn't made the most of some of our best assets.
You mentioned the airport there. The airport was one of the big ones. But, but the world has changed since 2016.
Yeah.
So has what you're saying to the electorate changed along with it?
Absolutely. Let me... obviously, it was very close in the election. And I...
Yeah, you're 1%, I think you were behind Graham Gugeen. 40 votes, not much in it.
No, absolutely. And interestingly, I had a look at one of the big things that was really happening in the constituency, the Castletown Housing Review. I'd already recognised that if we had the bypass through Ballasalla, this was really part of what needed a sort of strategic vision as to what was going to result. And we still haven't got there. I'll come to that. But the worry to me was that the Castletown Housing Review, I had a private client, luckily, who I felt had a good site, was well constrained, and he was altruistic. He was very interested in housing for first-time buyers. And we do recognise that in the area, that's, you know, something that's essential if we want to bring the employment. My client recognised that there was quite, as we developed his proposals in the review, and his site was acknowledged as a proposed site, we realised that the first-time housing is really a challenge. And at the same time, in my own practice, I worked hard on the environmental front. I recognised that... let me put this another way. At the same time, I was introduced to a client, John Shepherd, who has a company called Rent Sustainable. He, an entrepreneur, he spent nearly 20 years developing his system. It's a hybrid. He knew the depth of my technical knowledge. We collaborated, and now that's come to fruition.
It does seem all this is very single issue. You're entering politics with a single issue. Thank you. You think, but surely a Manx politician in the House of Keys should be covering
a
all
range.
Yeah, covering the whole thing.
Well, the reason that I focused on this so hard is that obviously one of the major issues is first-time buyers, and this is really essential. If we're moving forward in terms of development, it's really critical on the Isle of Man.
You've gone back to the single issue, though.
Absolutely, John. Reason I'm saying is that this brings me on to the major subject at the current time. We've all been through the major distraction, which has turned our world upside down over the COVID period. And the economy... if I take you back a second, if you remember that programme of government issued 5 years ago, one of the key elements was to say, well, let's see what happens after Brexit. Well, we're well on now. We've been sidetracked with COVID. But right now, I see a UK...
sidetracked is one way of putting it.
Well, I know.
A punch in the solar plexus is another. Absolutely. I mean, the whole thing has been skewed.
Absolutely. It's turned our world upside down. But there's an opportunity as well. It's brought some things forward. And exactly what I'm saying about the eco-housing. People are recognising this quality of life. And I think that's the major asset that came out of this, you know, our isolation, the mental stress that we were under.
You are going back to the single issue again, but I'll talk about other issues as well.
Right.
First of all, there are two present members. They're both standing.
Yeah.
You're standing. So what have they done wrong?
If we look at some of the key infrastructure issues that we had in Castletown, the new school, and it's described as started, but because I studied the Castletown Housing Review in detail, I recognised that there was a better strategy. And I just feel we've lost this momentum for housing.
Well, what strategy is this? They're building the playing fields, obviously.
Yeah,
then they're
going to go on
building the school. What strategy should they have gone for?
Well, actually, John, if we just look at the Castletown Housing Review, it went out to GVA, which was a planning consultant in the UK. Abinson Young, I think they are now. But they were an independent body. And interestingly, in their review, their framework, independent framework they went through, of course, they recommended the Castletown, Castle Rushen as the best site with the Bookham.
We've gone back to bricks and mortar again. You seem to be drawn all the time to bricks and mortar. Just going back to the question I asked about the two sitting members.
Yeah.
What have they not done that they should have done, that you would be able to do?
Well, I don't think we've... I mean, I've got, in terms of the airport, in terms of the development, we haven't had the... we had the IT park that I put forward, and we now have a chance to put that forward as a climate change, you know, data and IT. And it's really fronting, you know, this airport arrives in the Isle of Man. And I've always argued that if we took Ballasalla and Castletown and the airport and placed it somewhere in the UK, we'd be inundated. But we haven't got the footfall in the town.
You're complaining that the development of the airport is not taking place in the way that you would like to see it.
Yes.
So what development would you like to see there?
I wanted to see a development corridor so that we had all the authorities...
Explain a development corridor. What is that?
It means that the front... Well, let's have a look at across in the UK. Plenty of good examples. Speak.
Speak, you know, Airport, yeah.
Yes, exactly. They use European...
Or John Lennon Airport, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Absolutely. And that was actually, you know, a Manx company that helped.
But that's the sort of thing. But that's in a big city with a big hinterland. Mm. The Isle of Man doesn't have that hinterland. So how could it produce something like that?
Well, one of the problems we have at the moment, let's just talk about the economy and how the Isle of Man government's operating. One of the problems, and we can see this with the prom, the government has decided that it's taking on every project and it has to be, you know, fully in, you know, not in control, but, you know, the reins. And I think that, you know, if you look around jurisdictions, they're recognising that they have to work better with that joint venture.
But there's a company doing the promenade, isn't there? Alden Construction are the ones that are actually building the thing.
Yeah. And...
Well, it's not the government. So they
it's
have,
not the government building it, but the government...
They're doing it at the arm's government length, aren't they?
They are the employer, John. And this is what I'm saying. How can we look at joint ventures? Airport... and other facilities in the Isle of Man that would allow us to take forward. One of the key things that I think we saw, you know, Phil Gorn and Richard Ronan brought to fruition the UNESCO biosphere. And we're looking at, during the COVID period, the one thing that we can show to the world is this quality of life, our element of security. And really, if you look at that with the UNESCO biosphere, the government have taken a stand to update themselves with regard to the environment. If we look back 5 years ago, poor MEA, part of the MUA now, were cut off. They were, you know, the naughty department because of this 50 million debt.
Unauthorised loans.
Absolutely, debt. Absolutely.
But all this is development, this is looking forward. This is the sort of thing that you'd have been saying 5 years ago. We've had COVID. The economy is not in an enormously good shape. The Treasury Minister obviously will say we have great reserves, etc. But there's still a weakness there. Mm. So is this now the time in which we can afford to do the things that you're suggesting?
Well, we can't afford not to. The key here is that we are... let's say we look across the water at Liverpool, they've just had their UNESCO status taken away. And this is key to the Isle of Man.
Yeah, well, we're part of it. I mean, it seems so.
Absolutely.
The pier, which the price is rising exponentially, extraordinarily.
It's
up to about 50 million now. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, again...
I mean, the actual contract that made that possible seems to have had a weakness in that the developers... basically say if they find anything, they can just heap the money and charge on the Isle of Man.
Well, I'd just like to say that obviously my international experience on infrastructure...
You've worked at Chiap Lai Kok, for instance, the big airport of Hong Kong.
And not just that, but in
Thailand. So would you have approached the contract for the pier differently?
Well, actually, I heard another candidate talking a few weeks ago about how they're aware that letting contracts in part is a better way. And actually, interestingly, when I worked on the Bangkok Underground, it was let in north and south. It's a much better way of...
Well, splitting it rather than...
Absolutely.
Actually...
Because what happens is you've now two contractors.
How would you split the pier, Liverpool?
No, you don't have to split it in two, no.
I don't mean split literally in two, I mean...
Okay. But, you know, the key here is that you can... It's how you approach this contractor relationship. And asking the key questions, at, you know, at the beginning. The situation with the pier, I always said that the key to understanding our tourist industry, and we haven't done well, have we? I know we've been hidden away, but you know what's happened to our glamping strategy, and you know the when we had the report issued.
Well, COVID's happened to our glamping industry, hasn't it?
Well, exactly. You know, and I know there are challenges, but if we want the inward investment...
It has to be done. You're saying these things have to be done. We have to find a way.
Absolutely.
Castletown, the development of... Obviously, we've got the square done, which I think you were applauding as well. But what about Arbury Street, Malou Street? That's waiting to be done. How important is that to Castletown?
It is. But isn't this all about the relationship and communication with the traders, with the people of the town?
So what's been done... Wrong, Dad said.
I don't think it's been done wrong. I think, obviously, unfortunately, the proposal came at the end of the COVID lockdown, the third lockdown, partly because of this. We're coming to the end of this new administration. And there was just an opportunity. I just think it's this business of, you know, really, sometimes when we put packages together, then they don't leave enough money to just talk to the public or that PR element of the project, and it is so important.
We've been talking a lot about bricks and mortar, so let's move on to something completely different.
All right.
Equality. The Isle of Man, obviously, is a different place now than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
LGBT, men, women. How is the island doing in those terms?
Well, let me say that I think the last programme of government, one of the main words in it was inclusive. And I just feel that I can look at three quick elements for me which are don't demonstrate that inclusivity. We've got a digital divide. You know, the census demonstrated perfectly the disenfranchising of a whole section of community because they weren't, you know, ready for the digital transition.
Did you march at that stage, or were you part of any protest saying this is unfair?
No,
You have to say that not a lot of people were in those days, etc. It's only recently.
No, but I don't think a lot of senior people are going to march with placards. I think the point is, John, is that we are talking about quality of life.
But if you're approached by someone from these communities, they say, did you fight for us 5 years ago when we really needed it, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? What would your answer be? You were sympathetic.
My answer is here now. I'm standing for election. And let me be clear about that isn't the only divide. We also have the climate change, which is coming. You know, I'm saying that one of the elements around bricks and mortar, as you say, but the key here is that I want to... stress the aspect of affordability. It's this transition. You know, that eco house, for example, was nearly 20 years in development. Well, you know, that you could say that's great foresight, but a lot of people have been working hard, and some of these things are coming together. And what I would say is that if we want the inward investment, we must have a government that is showing that we have the right ethical long-term strategy.
So you would take those decisions, be they hard ones. I mean, for instance, we're having another consultation on climate change. I think the public are asking what should happen. A lot of people might say, haven't we had enough consultations? Haven't we had reports? We've got a big, bulky report telling us what we should do. Why are we having another consultation? What is the way forward on climate change for this island?
Well, let me just say, John, first of all, I think I've shown over the last 5 years I'm a doer, not a talker. And you're absolutely right. But I think if you look very carefully at this transition over the last few years, I'm very aware technically that we've seen a lot of changes with building control. Professor Curran has pushed hard.
He's given us a blueprint, hasn't he?
He has.
Shouldn't we be already halfway down the path of this blueprint? Not halfway down, but already started on this path. We don't seem to have got there.
Yeah. Isn't that the very thing I'm saying?
Is that something you would push to start off on the current route?
I want to look at the transition as to how we want to move from A to B. Because at the moment, greenwashing. And I think this is a major concern. And I think if we want to make the most of that UNESCO biosphere, the key is the ethical approach. It's really important. You know, for example, if we all bought an electric car tomorrow, it wouldn't be right for carbon production at that stage in 5 or 10 years' time. It's looking at how we go through that transition.
What would the first step be for you?
Well, let me say, John, I think at the moment my example is perfect to say that we have quite a number of entrepreneurs, you know, high worth individuals on the island. And are they tempted into a government at the moment that hasn't shown all its credentials.
What would you do to bring them in?
Well, I've just said, I mean, I think this is where we need a demonstration of a technical park that shows straight out of the airport, which isn't in a great state at the moment, is it, I might add, after all the, you know,
dismantling. But that will give the right message, you say, to these entrepreneurs, these wealthy people, saying the island's doing something. That's what you say would give the right message.
I believe it is. I think that we're showing that we are, and, you know, for example, at the moment, the UNESCO biosphere, I mean, what does that mean to most people? You know, and let me say, when you arrive off the ferry, where does it say UNESCO biosphere? I know there's a few pamphlets, but there isn't a lot to it at the moment.
The message hasn't been got across.
No, I don't. We haven't really pulled that together. But let me just say, John, I think you're asking me about COVID, and I think this is the key. You know, out of the you know, challenges, and particularly to youth, you know, my daughter's 18. You know, we faced very hard times. She was in lockdown for 2 weeks. We discussed this, you know, to say, you know, the time she got back to school, you know, like many, she had panic attacks. And it was very, you know, we've been through those challenges. And we've got to acknowledge this help. You know, it wasn't that, I think you can remember in that first lockdown, the camaraderie, the help. And this is, I think, the strategy we need. If we've got an ethical way forward, then we can pull together.
Let's just talk about health, because your father was a GP. Yeah. Your mother, Nadine, obviously hospice. Was very high profile in hospice. What's your view towards the way that health is being dealt with at the moment?
Well, to be quite fair, you know, I think Minister Ashford has had a fair challenge on his hands.
How has he dealt with it?
Well, I think that in that first stage, I certainly know the government and the people of the community all pulled together. Perhaps there was a little bit of, what's the word? Probably a little bit of arrogance after New Year that we, you know, have championed.
You think they'd got the problem cracked, in effect?
I do think we got to congratulate their achievements. We know and we've demonstrated to the world our quality of life.
What about the borders? Have we opened them too early?
I would say with the borders, I think we've got to go through this transition. The only thing I've always discussed is just having the preparation. Perhaps we should have recognised that the lateral flow test.
Is that a yes or no, that we open them too early? That we should still have closed borders?
No, I believe
borders?
We should open them. Yeah. But let me be clear. What I'm saying is that, again, it's about that transition. We should have been a little bit better prepared. And let's just run past the last 6 months. We've done so well, but just on occasion, you know, the rollout of the vaccine process of the volunteers and individuals and the medics has been superb. But the but is that we were just a bit slow, you know, recognizing the speed we could run. And in the third lockdown, that's possibly let us down. So, and I think it's important in government that we come up to this question about, you know, single entity and different departments, that we do seem to have this inability to acknowledge mistakes. Yeah. And I want to be
clear. What about working together? Do you think the government's... we hear about Chinese wall silos, etc.
Yeah.
Is the government in the wrong place at the moment? Should they be more working together with single entities, as one entity, holistically?
I know it. Well, I would say, in answer, perhaps a bit of detail, that certainly, you know, if we look at... I've certainly talked to key leaders, and at the moment, in preparing my
key leaders,
campaign.
What in commerce
in both in commerce,
in
and
politics,
and government.
Yeah.
And I can certainly see, you know, certainly the Chambers of Commerce are stating that, you know, it's this joined up element, ease of business, and you know, that's critical.
What would you do to actually get that going? Because it's something that's been talked about for years, for decades.
It is. Absolutely, John.
We don't seem to be getting
it. At the last election, we had all the silo talk and, you know, and not much has happened, has it?
So are you the man to do the job?
Well, to be fair, John, I think the current government haven't been able to move some of that forward in, you know, firefighting. Well, I think firefighting COVID wasn't the time to talk about
single
entity.
So they're being more reactive than they would have liked to have been. They'd like to be more proactive in that area. You said that's important. They should go ahead and do it.
What I'm saying is that I was just mentioning earlier that I can see those key areas where government haven't you know, pull things together. Drugs policy is a perfect example. We've got various departments doing different things, and this is a critical area at the moment.
So where would you put that? Where would you put drugs policy? Under one particular department or under the police? I don't think
you have to have it under one. I just think that the central part of government, the chief minister, is there to make sure that people are working together. That's key.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We've reached the end of our 20 minutes. There's a lot more I'd love to say.
There is much to say, and I'm sure between now and September the 23rd, you will get a chance to say it on the hustings and to various people at the doorways, perhaps. Stephen Crowther, who's standing in Arbury Castle Town in Maloo, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, John.